Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it is a very, very exciting day. Wyatt and I just got back from our beautiful new ranch in Missouri. It's a beautiful 6,000 square foot indoor training facility and a beautiful kennel that's really exquisite. I'm so grateful for having the place, and it's just wonderful. So Wyatt was really enjoying running around and playing and all that, which is wonderful, but sometimes even more important is understanding, you know, the important parts of the important parts of making a dog have a great time and have a great experience, especially if, you know, you're able to bring your dog with you places. And I've posted, and I'm telling you, I have so many people who have been responding and putting comments on the video I have of Wyatt. It is definitely something that's pretty hilarious. Wyatt and I were flying yesterday, and of course, he's got now over 190,000 airline miles just on United, let alone another 50,000 to 60,000 on different airlines, plus over 400,000 miles in cars. So Wyatt is definitely a world traveler. He's one of those dogs who, you know, he just loves it. He looks at everything like an adventure. And, yeah, he is one of those dogs who's, you know, very, very calm, very confident. He has known since the very day I first laid eyes on him, which was when the moment he was born, he's known that I'm going to take care of him. Now, that doesn't mean at all that when I'm taking care of him that he is thinking that he doesn't have to look around, you know, or that he doesn't have to be responsible for any kind of behavior. It just means that he's not worried about things happening because he knows I'm taking care of him. And if you're taking care of somebody, they feel protected. They feel safe and secure. And that's the key of making sure that we're able to understand what dogs are thinking and why dogs are doing what they're doing. Again, we talk about this nearly every week. You've got to make sure that your dog feels safe. Like right now, I'm actually at my studio in New Jersey, and I've got Wyatt just laying right outside the door here, right, you know, a couple feet away. And he's not blocking me. He's not between me and my way of egress. He's not blocking me physically. He's not in a place that I wouldn't want him to be. But he's just sleeping. You know why he's sleeping? Because he feels comfortable. He feels safe and secure and protected. And my other dogs feel the same way. If you are truly in charge of your dog, and it doesn't mean being mean. I've seen people, and it's funny because I just heard of a great story that really warmed my heart in a funny way, because I know of somebody who is a very manhandly kind of, you know, passive-aggressive kind of nasty person. And, you know, nice person on the right days. But, you know, unfortunately, that energy is something that a dog will pick up on. And apparently a dog was very, very frightened and was blocking on the leash. Now, you've all heard me talk about this every week and on my Friday show as well. We don't want to ever use fear or intimidation. We don't want to drag a dog on a leash. We don't want to do things that are going to belie the trust, that are going to deny the trust. We want to do things that are going to build up trust. Well, apparently, the person who was doing this was doing it to such a degree that it got him kicked out of a shelter and rescue group that he had been working with quite a bit before. Now, do I agree with that? Yeah, because you can't take a dog, especially a dog that doesn't have trust, especially a fearful dog who's blocking. You never, ever want to use any types of methods, squirt bottles, choker chains, shock collars, you know, all these crazy things. You know, people take a penny can and they shake it at the dog. And even there's some companies, big companies out there who claim to do it from, you know, the Aussie way or whatever. And they're throwing bean bags with like a bicycle chain kind of a thing, pretty heavy. They're throwing it at dogs. Now, when you talk to these people, they say, oh, well, you're not throwing it at the dog. You're throwing it toward the dog. And, you know, the problem with that is you're throwing it. That's the problem. How is anybody or anything going to, in any way, shape, or form, how is anybody or anything going to trust you when you're throwing things at it, when you're acting unpredictably yourself, when you're doing something that's already taking the trust out of that dog, and now the dog is just basically left to protect itself? I've told, I don't know how many times, in the thousands for sure, of my people at UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, United, the letter K, number 9, professionals with an S.com, that you should never be the first person that that dog bites, and that you never do anything ever to question or to have that dog question your confidence. And that doesn't mean that you're going to go in there and drag a dog around. I've seen that, you know, people, and this particular person I spoke of earlier, dragging dogs around before. But sometimes with a dog who does block, if you change directions, if you make a 90-degree turn and you continue on, you take a few steps one way. But after 3 or 4 steps that the dog is not using its own legs, you are being abusive. And I think everybody would agree with that, unless you are a legend in your own mind or you're a narcissist. I think most people would say, yeah, you know, there's something reasonable and then there's something unreasonable. So when you have a dog who does not have trust in you because it's a rescue or shelter dog, particularly, how do you build up trust? How do you turn your dog into a Wyatt? And everybody, I urge you to Facebook friend and like the Merlin's Kids, M-E-R-L-I-N-S-K-I-D-S, Merlin's Kids on Facebook, and you can see the great pictures and video. I actually was on the plane with Wyatt yesterday, and actually it was quite early this morning. And what I did was, as Wyatt was watching everyone exit the plane, I put a little voice to it. And I think, I've gotten a couple thousand likes already on the various sites that I've posted it. It is really funny because it's what the dog would think if the dog could speak. So why does Wyatt get so comfortable? Why does he sleep on the plane? Why does he trust me to go through even the beeping when we go through the airport? And Wyatt walks through the radiation screen, you know, that checks you for, you know, guns or metal or whatever. And, you know, when you go through the TSA for the security, and people are patting him down and they're, you know, jumping around and there's a little kid screaming and there are things falling and there's a big puff of air and, you know, people are touching me and they're touching him. Why is it that he doesn't react? And same thing with Wispa and same thing with Savannah. Why is it that my dogs don't react? Because they know that I'm confident and I'm going to take care of them. And part of that comes from the fact that they can trust me. So we're going to talk in the second segment today about how you can build trust in a fearful dog. And since many, many shelter dogs end up being fearful, even if they weren't fearful or uncertain before they started, they certainly got that way in the shelter, even if people are nice to them. It's very hard to be confident when you don't know what is the reality and you don't know anything around you. So please stay tuned. We will be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. all natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about how to build great things like confidence and trust and earning respect. You don't demand, and this is one of those little phrases I've got to trademark, you don't demand respect, you command respect. You command respect by being fair and by respecting others. It's what we teach our children. It's the same thing with animals and dogs, especially horses, rabbits, whatever. If you're acting in an unpredictable manner, and if you, for whatever reason, are dealing with somebody who's unstable mentally, and that doesn't mean just somebody who has a chemical diagnosis, but somebody who's acting in an unpredictable or kind of uncertain way, somebody who's screaming and yelling and, you know, knock it off, stop barking, and they're screaming. Well, they are not in control, and if that person's not in control, then the dog is going to see that person as being a weak or unstable energy. And that's very important for people to understand because dogs are not going to follow someone who's out of control. They're not going to. They just are going to look to get away. So when you have a dog, especially a dog, one you find on the street, you find a stray, a very good friend of mine, Jennifer, just found literally a few days ago a stray pregnant female dog that everyone was trying to catch and they're screaming and chasing her. And she waited, and she's with United Canine Professionals. She's in Pennsylvania. She's awesome. And she waited, so she knows what to do. She's learned from us, and she's got great instincts. And what happened was she waited till all these people left, and then she went in, and she sat quietly. And she just started gently luring the dog until it came over to her. That's what you have to think about. How does that dog perceive your effort? So when you're all chasing a stray dog or you're chasing your dog who gets out, what you're really doing, even though you think you're going to catch it, trust me, I don't care if it's a dachshund, I don't care if it's a three-legged dog, it can outrun a human. So all you're doing is terrifying the dog and making it more afraid of you instead of giving it confidence in you. So how does one do that? How does one go about just truly having the dog be at one with you? Well, one of the main things we're going to do is walk your dog. Walk your dog to simulate the fact, and this is especially true, you know, with a shelter dog, walk the dog to simulate the fact that you're symbolically going first, you're the leader, and the dog is the follower. Now, why would the dog be a follower? Because he's on a leash. That's why when you hear me say every week that you hear me talk about this, that the dog can't be ahead of you. It's not that you can never let the dog ahead of you. Heck, Wyatt is ahead of me the whole way through the airport because he's pulling me up where I normally can't, you know, go when I've got a whole bunch of stuff, and especially his food and all that. I've got his pulling harness on, so he'll actually not pull me hard, but pull me based on how much I need him to do, and he'll actually pull things. So he's allowed to be out ahead of me because he's Wyatt. He's awesome. So the key is, though, when you have an unstable dog or you're not sure about the stability or confidence of the dog, is to make sure that you can be out ahead. That's why we use a gentle leader head collar. There are other ones, that other brands that I'm not really a fan of, but anything, even the knockoffs, are probably fine, but we do use those. So the main idea being, when you're dealing with a dog who you don't know, you don't necessarily want to immediately go towards its face and sticking a head collar on. Some dogs are that fearful, and it's okay to work in stages. You don't have to do everything all of a sudden, one time, and, you know, be a grandstander and just like, I'm going to show you what to do, and I am going to take this dog, and I am going to fix the dog before your eyes. Because what you're doing is setting the dog up for failure. At United Canine Professionals, we set the dogs up for success, not for failure. So when you start overbearing and getting ego in, and we've all seen this, and there's a very famous video that's been running around of another gentleman with a yellow lab female, and he says, I didn't see that coming. Boy, I saw it coming, because the dog yielded to him. The dog gave up and said, okay, I get it, that's not mine, it's all right. Now, what did he do instead of having that and ending on a great note and saying, all right, this dog understood, it's mine, great, let's have a happy time, let's go do something fun, so that the dog is the lesson is ended on a great note? But no, he had to do the same thing this other person or other people in general, and it's usually guys. I don't mean to pick on you guys, but it's usually guys. Women are used to kind of dealing with things longer term, and I guess that's from dealing with men. We maybe get a little better at dealing with dogs, because you kind of have to treat everybody that same way. But it is funny that the way I'm telling it, but it's a serious matter, because when you have something good happen, end on a good note and make another lesson, even if it's a half hour later, give the dog a break. Let him get to his threshold, and when he says, in human language, like I say, it's when he says uncle, don't make him say uncle 100 times. He says uncle, you say, that's what I wanted, baby. Now, he remembers that as being a good lesson. Instead of, he bites people, he runs to the back of the cage, he's terrified now not just of men, but of men with hats, or men with glasses, or men with beards, or bald men, or short men, or tall men, or whatever it is, and that's really what's important, is not getting ego into this. It's not about ego. It's not about you. It's about the dog and what the dog needs. So that's where I start talking about getting that relationship, getting that bond, that connection with the dog, so that the dog trusts you and the dog believes that you're going to help it and take care of it. So that the dog doesn't have to feel that it's its job anymore, because it's your job. And boy, oh boy, once it's your job and the dog understands that, you know, hey, you know, I'm not going to have to be protecting anybody because I'm being protected. That's the whole key. So what do you do to build up confidence in a fearful dog? There are a lot of things. And this is something that we actually, we just had our huge national convention of United Canine Professionals. We had just so many people. We had people from New Jersey, New York, way upstate New York, Rochester. We had people from Buffalo and Syracuse, Albany. We had people from as far as California. We had people from Bulgaria, Mexico, like I said, California, Texas, Missouri, Florida, like I said, all over. And what was so exciting was seeing how all of these people, these wonderful people who our board has let through our process. And we have about 150 to 200 people per quarter applying for positions in United Canine Professionals. And what's great is seeing the board is amazing. I am, of course, one of the board members. I own the company. But, it's wonderful seeing the board welcoming new people. And all these people from different walks of life all coming together because they love dogs. And they understand that you can't bully a dog. You can't intimidate a dog. You can't do that with a human, let alone an animal who doesn't know any better. So we'll talk more about that in the next segment. But, you know, that might be something in this holiday season that we think about, you know, is think about treating people and animals in a little different way, and you might get wonderful results out of it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about building confidence in a fearful dog. And, you know, I've always been reminded of this when I'm around wonderful people, that, you know, all people aren't wonderful. And we have to be just so fortunate and so blessed, and I am so blessed to have the people around me, hundreds and hundreds of truly the most amazing people whom I get to teach every day and get to work with. And, you know, it's nice to see when people are so dedicated, not just to the dogs, but to each other. We had an amazing conference. Our convention was just wonderful. We had it at a beautiful hotel, and everybody just came in from all over. One of the things we were working on that I lectured on was shelter dogs and the problems and issues that many, many shelter dogs seem to have. Now, everybody always assumes that, you know, if your dog is a little bit, you know, let's say aggressive, or your dog is fearful, we always assume that somebody did that. Somebody, some, you know, mean, evil person, you know, a man with a, you know, gray beard and sunglasses and a hat. That's what this person did, and now the dog is ruined. Or, you know, oh, it's an older lady with a walker. And, you know, well, I don't think the older lady with the walker is beating the dog over the head with a walker. That doesn't mean that some dogs have not had these things happen, or that have not had, you know, incidents or instances that have changed the behavior. But remembering that all dogs go through fear phases, it's a natural stage of development. And, you know, one of the great things is I have a new book out. It's really one of my, like, I don't know, there's like 14 books or 15 books out now, but they'll all be out within the next year or two. But one of them that is out now on ebook, and that will just be available. We're taking pre-orders. It's specifically got like two chapters dedicated to where to get a dog, how to evaluate the dog, where do you want to get that dog from, and what are some issues that your dog, depending on where you get the dog, might have that are specific to where you're getting the dog. Now, typically a shelter, which shelters are great, and I wish there were no need for shelters because all people kept the responsibility to dogs and didn't dump their dogs in shelters. Oh, excuse me, we call it rehome now to make people feel better. No, if you make a commitment and you fall back on that commitment and you don't take care of that dog for the life of the dog, unless the dog has got a major issue and is severely aggressive or something else, you wouldn't, if your dog is you know, urinating in the house without, you know, good cause, obviously if it's an elderly dog or something and has kidney issues, but if the dog is soiling in the house, well, there's a reason he's doing that. Now, if you have a child and your child is a bedwetter, and, you know, you have a six-year-old son who wets the bed, would you say, oh, you're too much of a difficult child, go away, I'm not gonna have you here, you go, I'm going to get rid of you, I'll go get another one? That's where the problem is. Why do people give up on their animals? You're asking for their love, they're giving you everything they have, and you're saying, oh, well, it's not convenient. Till death do us part, unless it's not convenient. Till death do us part, I'll never give you up, I love you so much, unless, you know, you get fat, or unless you get, you know, sick, or unless whatever it is happens. We don't, as a species, have the greatest track record for sticking with things and for truly doing what we could or should do. That is why I think it's very important that when you get a dog from the shelter, that specifically from a shelter, you understand the history behind that dog. If the dog was already returned 3 times and you have little kids, that might not be a great situation, because very rarely do I see, and it's not the shelter or rescue people's fault, but the people turning in dogs generally don't say, yeah, he bit my 3-year-old. They'll say, oh, he jumped on my 3-year-old. So you might not know the exact situation. That's why, not that I don't want you to rescue, because I rescue most of our dogs, and I do it through shelters, because I'm an expert. I'm a canine behaviorist. I've trained, you know, several hundred people. I've worked with more than 25, 26,000 dogs with behavioral issues. I work with about 25 dogs a week unless I'm working at the shelter, which it can go way higher than that. So, yes, I am an expert on that. And, yes, I'm not going to tell you I'm an expert on singing, because my singing voice is something that would make everybody hang up right now and not listen. But the key here is that when you have somebody who's an expert in anything, take that person's advice, but always think about it as well. Don't go on anybody's judgment. You'll see a lot of people with fancy websites, and, you know, they, oh, I've been training service dogs, or I've been training therapy dogs, or I've rehabilitated, or I've trained, you know, 8,000 dogs. Well, good. Let me see something. Let me see what you've done. And if it doesn't feel right, if you feel that somebody's being abusive to your dog, or if you feel that somebody isn't helping your dog, you don't have to take it personally. Sometimes, as much as I work so hard to keep dogs off of Prozac and fluoxetine and Clomicom and everything else, gabapentin, there are those rare cases where the dog does need to have one of those specific types of medications. And I'm not going to argue with a veterinarian unless it's a veterinarian who, you know, who obviously doesn't know what they're doing. Most vets are really great people. Yes, there's always somebody in every profession, but if your vet says your dog needs Prozac because I don't know what else to do, well, you know what? That's not a really, really good reason. You need to call somebody from United Canine Professionals. We even have an 800 number that's free. We'll give you free consultation to help you out. You can call 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-CANINE-PROS. We always have somebody, one of our board members or advisory board members, who will be able to help you. And if the person answering your phone can't help you, you can ask to talk to me. You can ask to talk to some of our other board members. We will help you for free. if it's something that is over what we can, you know, what we can do on the phone, which sometimes it is, then you'll have to make an appointment. But we're happy to help you, especially if it's a shelter or rescue dog. We love to help you because we don't want that dog to wind up back in a shelter or rescue. We want you to be able to make that commitment and honor that commitment to the dog. So you can always call us or you can email us. You can even email me personally, Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, at UnitedK9Professionals.com. Janice at UnitedK9Professionals.com. And I'll be happy to answer you. One of my assistants will get me, I don't always answer my own, but if you say, hey, I would like to ask Janice a question, I will be happy to do that. And you can also email us at info at UnitedK9Professionals.com. We'll be happy to help you. Now, I just have somebody actually who is on the other line right now and is asking if we do train other people. I thought this was a question, but it seems it's an email coming in or whatever you call those little messenger things coming in. Yes, we do train people to become canine behaviors. This is not something that you do in 2 weeks. This is something that you have to be approved by our board. Like I said, we get about 150 to 200 people per quarter applying. We take about 15 maximum, and then we take people from areas where they can work together so you have help. And yes, we do train people to become canine behaviors, but it's not something to do party tricks. This is something that you're going to learn a skill to be able to help us to save more shelter dogs. So stay tuned and I'll talk a little more. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And I've forgotten the last few weeks to send a special shout-out to my amazing adopted daughter, even though she's really not adopted and she's not my daughter. I adore her. The future Dr. Jody Joseph at Cornell University, who is going to be an oncologist for helping our animals. And I just love her. She's wonderful. But, you know, Jody and a lot of other people, a lot of kids, and we call them kids when you're over 30, everyone's suddenly a kid if they're not in the 30s or higher, but a lot of kids out there and young, you know, young people in their early 20s and all kind of lost. And I meet a lot of these people at shelters and rescue groups, and they're trying to get in and say, oh, I really wanted to go to vet school. I don't have the stomach for it. I don't know how I can help dogs. So they go to the shelter and they, you know, volunteer and they get to, walk the green dogs and, you know, hope someday I'll be able to walk the yellow dogs or the orange dogs, and I'm never going to be able to walk the red dogs. But that's not really something that you should be worried about. Just get experience wherever you are. Help the shelters and rescues around you. Do you know the average good shelter or rescue? Do you know how many times, let's say how many times a week, do you think the average dog gets to be walked at the average rescue or good rescue or shelter? 5 times, 3 times? Try once. And the easier the dog, the more times it goes out. Well, the worse the dog, the fewer times it goes out. So what happens? Well, you're at this rescue group or the shelter. The good dogs, who really are the ones who don't need the different time with you, those dogs are the first to get time. And the last ones to get time are going to be the bad dogs. The red dogs, the orange dogs, the kind of yellow dogs. So if you wanted to learn how to be a canine behaviorist, you're going to be volunteering at shelters and rescues. And with United Canine Professionals, we will try to set it up where you can actually come with me or with Dawn or with one of our amazing people. We have literally people in 37 states, 8 countries, and then we're bringing on actually South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa, and we're bringing on Portugal and another person in the UK, which is wonderful, and another person from Bulgaria in our next class. So if you are interested, you don't have to be in some fancy place. You can be from anywhere in the world. We will definitely help you because you'll be a part of this amazing team that we have put together. And I will say, I have been very blessed. I have had cancer twice. I've had a lot of health issues, had some really crummy people in my life who are abusive. Nobody in the immediate future, in the immediate past. But, we all learn. And as women, I think sometimes, because we always work on, empowering young women, I think as women, sometimes we tolerate too much because it's just our nature. Our estrogen and our hormones tend to make us softer and more thoughtful and more emotional, where guys, it's like, hey, get me a beer. Well, of course I love you. I asked you to get me a beer. And it's a little bit of a disconnect, and I joke about it. Men and women are almost the same species. We can't understand each other. So when you're not communicating with a dog in the way that the dog can understand, of course he doesn't know what you're trying to say or do. He doesn't speak English. And even if he does have English commands or any command, it doesn't matter. It's still operant conditioning. And operant conditioning, you could say the word artichoke, like my friend taught cucumber and artichoke. Cucumber, you'd say cucumber, the dog would sit. And say artichoke, the dog would lie down, and everyone would laugh and say, oh, he doesn't know the right words. Some people just don't get it. That's the point, is it doesn't mean anything. You can teach the dog anything. If your name is, let's say your name is Susan. If your name were Lisa instead of Susan, or if your name were Steven, and instead of Steven, your name is Brad, do you look different? Probably not. In other words, it doesn't matter what you are called. The reason you answer to a name is because you are familiar with that sound pattern, that speech pattern. So when you hear that pattern of sounds, you know that's referring to you. So if you name your dog Delilah, or if you name it Marvin, or if you named it, Eric, or you named it Penelope, or you name it, Dodgeball, it doesn't matter because the dog is going to get used to that pattern of sounds. The same way you get used to that pattern of sounds. That's what we do with children. We teach them ABCs. Well, they get used to, their kids will understand ABCs, the song, and they don't know what that letter means, because if you just sing a song, it's like singing a song in a foreign language. You may not even know what that word means, but you're used to the speech pattern. That's what kind of changes things and makes it different for a dog, because dogs go by energy. Dogs don't think about what you say. They think about the not the tone. That big misconception is not the tone. It's the energy behind the tone. So when you're dealing with a fearful dog, things you want to do is approach from the side. Don't walk straight on like you're confrontational. Different things that are really, really important to understand. If you positionally, that's my word, got to trademark that one too. If positionally, let's say you're coming in. Let's say you're a big guy or a larger lady, and you walk towards a dog, and the dog is intimidated or afraid or barking or whatever it is because the dog is fearful or aggressive. You don't want to turn your back to the dog when the dog is barking, because then the dog thinks that, you're afraid of him. You're like, oh, I'm submitting to you. So you're sideways to the dog. So when you're dealing with a fearful dog, and please don't try this with an aggressive, like a fear-aggressive dog, but you can do this, with a dog and practice even with your own dog. When the dog is doing something, stand sideways, because what it does is, unless you've got a really big belly after Thanksgiving, normally people are not as wide or thick sideways as they are front-wide. Now with me, I'm about all of 115 pounds, so sideways, other than you can very obvious that I'm a girl, I'm a much less menacing, shape than if I'm straight on, even though I'm 115 pounds, because my shoulders stand out, and my hips a little bit, but my shoulders stand out more. And I'm, you know, I'm slim, definitely slim. But sideways, I'm less intimidating and less threatening because I'm smaller that way. So if you are a very, very large person with a belly, you might want to stand three quarters. But the key is the energy of not facing and challenging the dog who's already fearful, because we don't want to set the dog up for failure. And people do this time after time again. People getting into the dog's face. And every time I get a phone call and it's a client saying, well, my dog bit my friend in the face, and my first question is, did the dog lunge up at her face or his face? Well, no, he was drunk, and he reached down, and he grabbed the dog by the jowls, and the dog bit him. And I said, well, good. Not that I want the dog to bite your friend, but your friend was stupid. And if so, I can't fix stupid. I believe it was Ron White. He said, you know, you just can't fix stupid. And that's the problem. There are too many people who think they know. And I always say to people, you don't know what you don't know. So as soon as you start thinking that you know, that proves, like I say, when you think you know everything, that proves you know nothing. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. But boy, oh boy, I've got an awful lot of things I know an awful lot about. One of them is dogs, one of them is horses, and one of them is rabbits. And I know a lot about behavior because I've dealt with and physically handled a number of animals, including wild animals, for most of my life. So, you know, you think about it, like Steve Irwin had, you know, his daughter, you know, Bindi, and, you know, his daughter knows more at, you know, 15 than most people would know in a lifetime because she learned it from the beginning. That's what I'm saying. Use your brain. Stop using your mouth and your energy. Just use your brain and think. Well, we'll be right back. Stay tuned, please. We'll be back for our final segment in a moment.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Hello, and welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about fearful dogs, and we're talking about how to help those fearful dogs. Don't be menacing. Here's another great thing. Stop feeling sorry for the dogs at the shelter, because that's weakening your energy. Think about what happens when you're under great stress, or if you're very cold. Especially with this kind of weather that we're going through right now, where we're getting the cold snaps, and nighttime does really strange things to dogs, too. Dogs' peripheral vision is not what ours is, and so they have to be looking at things, and sometimes dogs will get startled. You may not know if a dog has hearing issues or visual issues or cataracts, or, you know, you don't know what has been involved with that dog's life. So when you're dealing with a fearful dog, the first thing is assume it's your own dog. And, well, don't ruin it, though, but assume it's your own dog and just treat it like it grew up in Oprah Winfrey's house. Assume that it grew up in the best, fanciest, most wonderful home in the world And they just, you know, this is where we are right now. And, okay, buddy, yeah, I know you grew up in Oprah's house. Let's go for a walk. And just dealing with the animal, not with your emotions, but dealing with the animal with your energy. So, no, don't be over the top. Don't hurt the dog, but don't pity the dog. Don't feel sorry for it, because you're going to pity that dog right into death. That dog, if you can just go in and very confidently, but not arrogantly, not assertively, confidently, just be confident in what you're doing. So when that dog sees you and feels that, oh, okay, you're not hurting me, and starts building a little bit of trust, now you can start doing other things with the dog. A lot of people, I really believe, are very well-intentioned. Now, when you're dealing with a shelter, it's harder because you don't have much of a history except for whatever the owner who, I mean, how much can you trust somebody who turns their dog in to and dumps it with people they don't even know, other than they know that probably the dog is going to wind up dead because, you know, it's going to bite whoever else it was, instead of they're just saying, hey, this is what happened to the dog. Because if you turn in your dog and you say, hey, he just bit my three-year-old in the face, nobody's going to take that dog. So people, not that they're smart, but they get somewhat more intelligent and thought, okay, I'll just say that the dog jumps, because they'll take the dog. So you then you have a great rescue, like 11th Hour Rescue, which Kelly was supposed to be on tonight, but she's doing some taping of her new reality show, which I will completely make fun of her and give her a hard time for not being here tonight. But she'll be here hopefully next week to help us and to tell us about some great adoptable dogs. But I go over to 11th Hour Rescue quite a bit. It is a wonderful group. And, you know, I work with all the dogs that are returned three times, four times. They can't get the dog out of a kennel, or there's only one person who can work with them. But the difference is that they have these wonderful, wonderful dogs, but they have a wonderful staff. Even their volunteers, they are truly just the nicest, well-meaning people. And they're so open to whatever I teach them. And it's not that they're saying, oh, well, you know, this is what I'm going to do. They're wonderful. They'll say, hey, you know, this is this dog, and this is what the dog has the issues with. What do you think we should do? And we'll roundtable it. We'll discuss it. Because we're all there for the same reason. We're not knocking obedience trainers. Some of my best friends are obedience trainers. I get a lot of referrals from obedience trainers and veterinarians, certainly from rescues and shelters around the country, dog walkers, pet sitters. But one of the places I get a lot of reviews from and a lot of wonderful people is from the rescue groups, because I go in there for free and I work with these dogs. Well, now once these dogs were worked with by me, and even whether I know the dog or not is kind of irrelevant, but if I have worked with that dog, it means I've worked with the shelter people. So the dogs are ready. By the time they get to people's homes, these wonderful volunteers at the shelters and rescues have done what I've taught them to do. Now, it's not like I've taught them the way I would teach our people at United Canine Professionals, who are going to be, you know, certified canine behavior specialists in natural canine behavior rehabilitation. But we definitely teach the rescue people a lot about how to handle the dogs properly, how to walk them properly, about good nutrition, about making sure that we have that connection and that bond to dogs, and keeping our energy calm and giving the dogs a purpose, giving them a sense of having a job, of not that they have to work for their food, because that's ridiculous. Dogs in the wild don't work for their food. They hunt for their food. They hunt for their food because otherwise they don't get it. It's not that they're going in and sitting at a desk all day long to earn money to go, you know, to the supermarket to go buy meat. They've got to go find it. They have to hunt for it. But they're not, they don't have to earn it. If they catch it, it means they earned it. So that's where we talk about some of these great dogs, like at 11th Hour Rescue. They are so honest. That's what I love about them. I deal with probably about 200 shelters and rescues around the country. Not that I'm there every single day, but that places that I've gone and worked with, and then some of them that, you know, I've worked with and some of our other people have worked with around the country, and a lot of rescue groups. And that's one of the things is if we can't change the human, then how can I change the dog? I can only change that dog and help that dog if I can communicate effectively with the humans, because the humans are the ones who are going to have to implement the strategies that I'm teaching them in order to make the dog more well-rounded and be better behaved. I don't really care if the dog sits. I don't care if the dog lies down. If I have one more person, and you'll see it on the video if you Facebook friend me or if you Facebook friend Merlin's Kids or United K9 Professionals on Facebook, or if you like us and follow us on Twitter, you will see this really, really awesome video of Wyatt. And, you know, sometimes people are reaching their hands out and petting him. Not every dog likes to be petted, and Wyatt is a super stable dog, but there are definitely a lot of things that people do wrong. You never, ever, I don't care how good the dog is, you never, ever go over the top of the dog's head. You go underneath, and you don't stare at it when you pet it. You don't stick your face near a dog. Whether you know it or not is irrelevant. People who drink a lot, people who smoke or do drugs, it's a different smell. And when a dog feels that unpredictable energy, and the dog, especially a fearful or uncertain dog, it's going to react. And you know what? You get bitten in the face by a dog because you stuck your face in that dog's face when you were drunk? Good for you. I don't blame the dog. Not that I want the dog to do that, but you can't blame the dog when it was your fault. And that's the other thing, is we always blame everybody. It was somebody else's fault. No matter what it is in life, it was somebody else's fault. Well, you know, I can't believe we only have a minute left, and I don't know how time flies so much, but I love doing the show, and I love talking to you. And, you know, one of the things I hope you'll gather from this is you can make a difference. You can actually get involved. You can volunteer for Merlin's Kids. And, oh, by the way, we have our Wyatt stuffed animals are ready to be shipped. We have a limited edition. So the first limited edition is Wyatt sitting up. He's got his little characteristic ridge. We are going to, well, there's actually a photo contest right now. You can get there on Facebook if you Facebook friend either Wyatt Ridgeback or, better yet, Merlin's Kids, like our page. We have thousands of likes, and we would love to add yours to our list. And we have photoshopping, so you can actually take a picture, your favorite picture of Wyatt, and you can turn it into a fun photoshopped Christmas greeting, and that we will be mentioning names and giving you photo credit and artistic credit, and who knows, it might lead you to having a job with us. Also, if you'd like to get involved, you'd like to learn more about natural canine behavior rehabilitation, or if you would just like to get involved in fostering a dog or in learning a little bit more about helping us to fundraise, helping us with different events that we do, getting involved in, you know, people you know, you might know someone who knows someone who might like to make a donation in honor or in memory of a special pet or a special family member, maybe somebody who wants to name our kennel building after them or name one of our other buildings at one of our ranches. We can do all that. The key is getting involved and making a difference, not just being here living, but you know, existing on this earth, but making a difference, saving lives, saving the world, two lives at a time. Thank you so much for being with us again, and we just really are so grateful for the wonderful people in our lives. I want to say a special thank you to Wyatt, who is sleeping and now just looked up at me. Wyatt, I love you more than anything in the world, and if only I could be half the person you think I am, I'd be a pretty awesome human being. I try my best every day, and I try to do better and better so that every day I can say that I'm a better person than I was the day before. And I hope that all of you can try to join me in that. And in, let's, for this, thank you for everything we have, but let's try even harder for next year so that next year this time we don't have 4 million dead dogs and 12 million dead cats in a shelter around the country, because we couldn't do better. Be better, even a little better and better every day. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for joining us, and have a fantastic Thanksgiving. God bless.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.